Live from the hills of Westwood, this is Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins News and Culture Talk Show. I'm Jennifer Crane.
And I'm Sid Shaw.
So, tell me about yourself, Sid. I know we have four new hosts this quarter.
Yeah, so we're going to be switching off next week, but a little bit about myself. The voice you're hearing right now, that's a fake accent.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I came here for my undergrad, I picked it up. My real accent's the Indian accent.
Wow, that's really interesting. And you're also a photographer for the Daily Bruin, right?
Yep, 2 years running. And you're our community editor.
Hey, what can I say? And I used to be a pole vaulter. Da-da-da. Listen
nice.
To more fun facts about Sid and I every week here on Long Story Short.
All right, guys, so we're going to start our show right now. On Long Story Short, we don't mess around. From science and health to arts and politics, local news and campus buzz to social life and dating, we're here to talk about it all. That being said, we have an entertaining show for you tonight, full of useful information.
As students scurry up and down Bruin Walk, wearing their tunnel vision shades, sororities and fraternities try to recruit fresh Bruins with their warm smiles and free food. Sorority recruiters stand out in the crowd dressed in bright colors, while fraternity members try and keep it cool and low-key. Today, we are going to be talking to the Daily Bruins Out of Bounds host and sports senior staff writer, Andrew Erickson, and Long Story Short host and radio reporter, Maral Eric, about their experiences rushing.
Afterward, Daily Bruins opinion columnist Ryan Nelson will talk about creating a GE course that will teach students about financial literacy. All right. Last Wednesday, up until yesterday night, students rushed Greek life. Joining us in the studio, we have our current host of Out of Bounds and sports senior staffer, Andrew Erickson, who will share his experience as someone who's rushed a fraternity and who's been on the rushing panel himself. Alongside him, we have Long Story Short host and radio reporter Maral Eric, who will give us perspective on rushing a sorority. Hi, Andrew and Maral. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hi, Maral and Andrew. So tell me, what exactly did you have to do during rush? Tell us about your schedules.
Okay, well, I'm going to start out by saying girls recruitment, what's properly called recruitment, is completely different than guys rush. So I can start out. For recruitment, it's basically 4 days, and you have 2 days of open house rounds, which is where you have to go into every single sorority house and kind of, like, get to know the girls. Usually you talk to, like, two or three of the girls in the house. And then the next day there's, like, a philanthropy and a house tours round where you, like, get to learn a little bit about the house's philanthropy and you get to go on a tour of their house. Then the last day is the preference round, and then that night is bid night. So it's very formal and very structured, which I know is completely different than the guys' process.
Yeah, it's not like that at all. You pretty much just walk around. I think you have to register at some point with the IFC, and then you just walk around to different houses, and they all have food, which is not something that happens in recruitment for sororities.
Yeah, no, we get water.
Yeah, flavored water. So depending on the flavor you get, it matters for sororities. But no, yeah, there's always food. You just talk to people. And generally, it's a kind of a more easygoing process for guys, I think.
Wait, so with so many houses to choose from, how do you select your house or your sorority, and what's the like main topic of conversation at these places, at these events?
Well, I was just a dumb freshman. I didn't really know anything. So I went down with a few of my friends, and we kind of just walked down Gailey a little bit, and then we walked up Landfair. So there wasn't really any structure to it or anything different about it. Topics range from sports you played in high school to activities you're interested in to kind of just basic general conversation. There really isn't all that much to it. Sometimes you connect with other places better than some other places, but I mean that's true of generally any situation in life. So
was there kind of like a sort of like guy flirting in a way?
Yeah, man flirting, I guess you could say. Yeah, I mean you ultimately want people to join your house, and the way you do that is by I guess making the fraternity look as attractive as possible to potential recruits. So,
did you feel uncomfortable at certain points? I mean, you know, with flirting, you don't know. I mean, anything could happen.
No, I don't think I ever felt uncomfortable. The one story I do have though is there was one house which I won't use names, but I walked up and like I grabbed a sandwich. A few of my other buddies were there, and then all of a sudden, this dog comes out of nowhere and like eats the sandwich out of my hand, and then everybody starts laughing, and I just it really kind of like jaded me to the house in general, and I just I kind of left 10 minutes after that, and that was the end of that. So, yeah, that was my, like, one horror story, I guess you could say, but it wasn't too bad.
Awesome. Moral, why don't you tell us how you ended up choosing your sorority? What was going through your head?
Well, okay, basically, like, for girls, it's completely different in the sense that you do need to go to every house on the first 2 days, which is good because they highly discourage like listening to reputations or anything you've heard before. So you have to go to every house. And then it's just like with the girls, with the sorority system, it's a numbers game. Like you rank your top sororities, they rank their top girls basically, and it's a mutual selection process. So a lot of girls end up in houses that they didn't think they would end up in, but the system really does work. And conversations when you're talking to girls in sorority houses, on the first couple days, it's pretty surface level, you know, like your name, your major, your year, where you're from, what you like to do. But by preference round, you really try to get to know the girls in your house to see if you try to get to know the girls that are going through recruitment to see if they would fit with the girls in your house. So it's like really on a deeper level. And I don't know, the system really does work. It's just a lot different.
Awesome.
It sounds pretty complicated, like a lot of bonds were formed. Did you connect with anyone in particular when you were rushing?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because one of my best friends and I have a pretty funny story. When we were in, like, when we were going through recruitment, we went to the house that we both ended up in, and when we came out of it during recruitment, we were both like, oh my gosh, I love this house. And we hugged and we didn't even know each other. Like literally after we hugged, we were like, wait, who was that girl? And then on bid night, we ended up talking the whole night and then we walked home together. And then now we're best friends to this day. So it's just kind of crazy how that stuff happens. Like the system really, really does work. And you end up in the house with people that are just like you. And you end up literally, I know it sounds cheesy, but you meet your best friends there.
Awesome. So Moral found a friend. But Andrew, I have a question for you. You know, when you're rushing, you know, do you make friends or is it a competition?
I don't think it's as much of a numbers game. I think, you know, certain houses have capacities compared to others. You know, the house I live in, I think there can be up to 45 people living in and probably about 100 people total in the chapter. So it's not like you're competing with somebody to get a bid or to be in a house.
Right.
But, you know, I can say I do live in my house now and I do live in the same hallway as a bunch of my buddies. So, you know, I think it ends up working out. You end up making friends in the whole process. You know, I don't know if there's as much emotion that goes into it, but definitely over the years of being in the same house as certain people, you become, you know, best friends with people and you play sports together, you do these activities together. So that's where the bonds come from, I think.
That's really cool. Now, if you were talking to the UCLA community at large in general, what is the inside scoop on rushing and recruiting if you had to say one thing?
I just say be yourself. There are so many people who, you know, they watch Animal House or they watch certain movies or they watch the show Greek and they think it's all pent up to be this one big thing when really it is what you make it. So I think, you know, the biggest advice I can give people is just to be yourself, be who you are, and then, you know, you'll fit where you want to fit. So
nice.
that's the biggest thing.
I was literally going to say that exact same thing because if you're going through recruitment and you're faking who you are, you're going to end up with a house full of girls that you have to be fake with, and that's not the point. The point of getting into a sorority or a fraternity is to be in a group of people like yourself and to make amazing friendships and connections for jobs in the future, lifelong bonds, and yeah.
Wow, well, thank you guys. One last question for you. I know we're all dying to hear, what kind of food did they serve? Like, did you guys get cheese pizza or did you get like a big juicy steak?
Oh, steak. I think steak would be kind of a nightmare. But no, it's generally like catered stuff. Like you'd have like Chipotle or you'd have something like a, I don't know, like a burger or I think one night I forget. But it's generally stuff like that's mass catered like that, like wings or sometimes pizza. Yeah.
And for us, you get like all different kinds of flavored water, you know, like blueberry water, watermelon water. But on preference round, we have like a ton of pastries, like sugar cookies, et cetera, et cetera. But then we would all run to Chipotle afterwards.
Oh, nice. I gotcha. Smart.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Andrea and Moral, for coming in. This is Long Story Short. I'm Jennifer Crane.
And I'm Sid Shaw. Coming up next on the show, Daily Bruin's opinion columnist Ryan Nelson will bring us up to speed on his column about introducing classes at UCLA, teaching students to manage finances.
Let's give a warm welcome to the Daily Bruins opinion columnist, Ryan Nelson.
It's really important to know how to manage your money, especially when you're a college student. In his column, Ryan suggests that the school should set up a financial literacy requirement as a part of every UCLA student's general education. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, so what is this class, and why do you think UCLA should do this?
Right, so the definition of financial literacy is actually very broad, but the best way I like to describe it is basically how you figure out the logistics of your life, from everything to how much you'll be taking home in your paycheck, where your taxes are going, how to get a loan, savings, budgeting, everything. It's a pretty broad class, but it's something that we found people are still bad at doing coming out of it. In the article, we actually quoted a Jumpstart survey that found that 62% of the college students that they surveyed had no idea basically what they were doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you bring up that 62%, but tell me about your own experiences. How many students have you met that do not know how to manage their own finances?
You know, you don't ever want to say that someone doesn't know how to manage it. You find that people are good at different things. So, for example, I have a lot of friends that might understand taxes okay or understand where their money's going, but they don't know how to budget, and vice versa. So people are really good at different things, but no one seems to have that holistic sort of grasp of what's going on.
All right, so coming back to the class, do you think this is a realistic proposition? You know, how would we get about doing this, instating this class?
That's kind of the hard part, especially considering how financially strapped we are at the time. What I proposed in my column was eliminating a couple classes in order to fund it, but then you kind of start to get subjective over saying what makes this class better than this one, et cetera, et cetera. It costs usually around, if you were just to start the class from scratch, it would probably cost about $100,000 to start it, maybe a little more, where it gets kind of bad. I think pragmatically what they should be looking into is maybe an extension course or an online course. But then again, a lot of people just kind of click through online courses and don't really keep the information. So until either we get more financially healthy or we rearrange our priorities, it might benefit maybe an organization like USAC to try to use their funds to do it. But as far as realistic right now, it's not. It should be, but it's not.
Interesting. So what about this $100,000? What would that exactly be going to?
Well, you need to pay the professor, especially if you're hiring a guest lecturer, which is around $56,000. And then they also guarantee about 37% in benefits for the professor, so that's about $21,000. And then you also need to have TA costs, which means you have to double it because you need at least two TAs because they can't work more than 50% of the time. So it's basically going mostly towards that.
Wow, sounds like you've done your research.
Read the column.
Wow.
Okay, so other than, you know, the financial issues of setting up this class, what other red tape would it take to actually set up the class? What would the UC say, you know, hey, I want to start a new class?
Yeah, so in order to make it a GE, it's a pretty complicated process. First, there needs to be, like, a faculty group that originates the idea, and then they need to submit it to council review, and then a bunch of other committees like rules and jurisdiction need to approve it, an executive board of the school needs to approve it, and then it goes up for like a huge vote. And the last time they tried to do it, it died at like step three. It's really, really hard to convince people to change the curriculum, especially considering that we're UCLA and we're considered a pretty good school as is. People right. don't like to mess with the status quo very much.
So going back to the online part about having the classes there, do you think that students would actually take it? I mean, if they can choose, I mean, would they rather be, I don't know, going to a football game or something?
Oh, no, I'm saying the online class would be mandatory.
Oh, mandatory. Okay.
But that would
okay.
be a more cost-effective way to make it mandatory. But there's also that idea where if you're taking an online class, people might just skip through the slides and not really care. But I'm saying, like, if UCLA decided tomorrow that they need this and they need to do it maybe in a more cost-effective way, it would be a limited but better solution.
So what would be involved in this course? What would they teach financial literacy through?
Well, I think the first thing that they would probably cover would be probably college loans and budgeting. Budgeting is probably a big one, especially if you have to balance your loans along with going out, along with other like kind of miscellaneous costs. But then it would probably also get into the logistics of daily life, you know, comparing insurance rates, how to deal with health insurance, how to decide where to live and where to work, you know, how much of your check should be going towards a savings account, how much of it should be going towards living, rent, etc. But, you know, it's a broad thing. There's a lot, but that would probably be what I'd start with.
Wow, you really have done your homework. Last but not least, yeah, since you have done your homework,
sure.
Could you tell us what students can do right now to educate themselves about managing your finances?
Right now, I guess I could say, you know, there's a lot of resources online. I don't have many off the top of my head at this moment, but there are a lot of kind of upstart companies that have been trying to reach into this market in order to educate people. So, you know, a quick Google search will get you a lot of the information you need. It's just, you kind of go for a breadth versus depth sort of thing. You'll get a lot of info, but you might not understand it all, which is why a class would be really good, because it would help you filter through what you're seeing.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming into the studio. That was enlightening.
No problem.
Sid Shah.
I'm Jennifer Crane. You've been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins weekly news and culture talk show on UCLAradio.com. Don't forget to check us out and like us on the Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at Daily Bruin Radio. The show is also available as a podcast on iTunes under Daily Bruin Radio.
A special thanks to our guests, Andrew Erickson, Moral Eric, and Ryan Nelson. Also, thanks to our broadcast producer, Christiana Cabal, and our radio director, Bianca Brosis.
You've been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruin's weekly news and culture talk show. That's all we have for tonight, folks. I'm Jennifer Crane.
Taking leave from the recording room up here in Ackerman, I'm Sid Shaw. Keep it classy, UCLA. Well, shake it up, baby.